We looked at a rather conventional Christmas text earlier with the story of the wise men. This is a very unconventional Christmas text, but the idea is to again build our anticipation for Christ's second coming. Revelation chapter 12, if you're using a Pew Bible, you can find it on page 1034, and I will begin reading now with verse 1. And a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. She was pregnant and was crying out in birth pains and the agony of giving birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his heads 7 diadems. His tail swept down a third of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she bore her child, he might devour it. She gave birth to a male child, one who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. But her child was caught up to God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God, in which she is to be nourished for 1,260 days. Now war arose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was defeated. And there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, "Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. For they loved not their lives even unto death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows that his time is short." And when the dragon saw that he had been thrown down to earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. But the woman was given the two wings of the great eagle, so that she might fly from the serpent into the wilderness to the place where she is to be nourished for a time and times and half a time. The serpent poured water like a river out of his mouth after the woman to sweep her away with a flood. But the earth came to the help of the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed the river that the dragon had poured from his mouth. Then the dragon became furious with the woman and went off to make war on the rest of her offspring, on those who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. And he stood on the sand of the sea, from which chapter 13 tells us the beast was about to come. Do you see the picture here? That ancient serpent, verse 9, is at war with the woman and her offspring. It brings to mind what God spoke to the serpent back in Genesis 3, saying, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." Revelation 12 looks at how Genesis 3:15 has played out in history. The offspring of the woman, be it the Christ child himself or those who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus, verse 17, the offspring of the woman are routinely targeted by Satan. With a war in heaven and a war on earth, we might be tempted to fear the great red dragon. But let me tell you, The consistent message of our text is that the attacks of our enemy are thwarted by God. In fact, we see four demonic attacks in Revelation 12 that are all foiled by our God. The first of these attacks is the dragon's attempt to devour the Christ child at birth. Look again at verses 3 and 4. Another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his heads 7 diadems. His tail swept down a third of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she bore her child, he might devour it. The great dragon, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, is seen here to be seeking the Christ child's demise from the very moment of his birth. How do we know that this text refers to the Christ child? We know this because of how he is described in verse 5. She gave birth to a male child, one who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. In Psalm 2, we read of the Lord setting his king on Zion in opposition to the nations that rage against him. And in so doing, he says to his king, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you. You shall break them," the nations that are raging against me, "you shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel." This is Jesus being born in Revelation 12. And what do we see? We see Satan attacking. He is standing there before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she bears her child, he might devour it. How did this play out in history? Well, think back to the text we read earlier from Matthew chapter 2. Think of King Herod's order to kill all of the boys in Bethlehem who were 2 years old and under. Satan was out to devour Jesus. Satan was behind Herod's decree. He was looking to devour the child. But his plan was thwarted, wasn't it? The Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Revelation speaks of the child being caught up to God and to his throne. This moves the story from the cradle to the cross, and indeed beyond the cross to the empty tomb and Christ's subsequent ascension back into heaven. Once there, once Christ is on his throne, the devouring dragon is no longer a threat. In short, God has thwarted Satan's first attack. But what about his second? According to verse 7, war arose in heaven. Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fighting back. What is the outcome of this battle? Verses 8 and 9 tell us, the dragon was defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. No place for Satan and no place for his angels. And so the great dragon was thrown down. He was thrown down to earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. That sounds like defeat to me. And it did to heaven too. Notice verse 10. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, "Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God." No longer will the accuser accuse. He has been thrown down from before God where he was doing the accusing. His war in heaven has been thwarted. But of course, that only angers him further. In verse 13, we read that when the dragon saw that he had been thrown down to earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. Not only did he pursue her, but according to verse 15, he poured water like a river out of his mouth after the woman to sweep her away with a flood. Do you have the picture in mind? Satan's third attack was an attempt to sweep away our Lord's mother with a flood. Now be careful here. Despite what you might think, our Lord's mother here is not Mary. In verse 17, we see that the rest of her offspring are those who keep the commandments of God and hold fast to the testimony of Jesus. The woman in view is the faithful remnant of the nation Israel, from which the Messiah was born. Why do I say that this woman is faithful Israel? Well, because of how she is pictured in verse 1. In verse 1, we read that a great sign appeared in heaven. A sign, a picture of something. A woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. Commentators here take note of the sun, moon, and 12 stars and see a connection between their use here as a symbol and their use in Genesis 37 as a symbol. In Genesis 37, Joseph recounts one of his dreams to his brothers, saying, "Behold, I have dreamed another dream. The sun, the moon, and 11 stars were bowing down to me." Joseph saying that, hey, I'm the 12th star. Jacob, upon hearing of Joseph's dream, confronted his son, saying, "What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall I and your mother and your brothers indeed come to bow ourselves down to the ground before you?" The sun and the moon were Jacob and Rachel, and the 12 stars were the 12 heads of the 12 tribes of Israel. Satan here is attacking faithful Israel. But notice, he's thwarted. According to verse 16, the earth came to the help of the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed the river that the dragon had poured from his mouth. Now, I don't know what this river is meant to represent, but let me tell you this. Satan's attacks against faithful Israel are thwarted. That's what we need to take from this. Satan's attack against Christ was thwarted. Satan's attack against heaven was thwarted. Satan's attack against faithful Israel was thwarted. And be encouraged, church, Satan's attacks against you are thwarted. Even though verse 17 ends rather ominously, we are set up for this conclusion by what has gone before. In verse 17, the dragon becomes furious with the woman who has just been protected again by the Lord, and so he goes off to make war on the rest of her offspring, namely those who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. Who's that? Christ Church. Believer, do you feel the attacks of the enemy this morning? If so, if you do, then take courage from the pattern that we see in this text. God thwarts the enemy's attacks. Take courage, too, in what is said in verses 10 and 11. "Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. For they love not their lives even unto death." What do I want you to take from those verses? Simply this. The blood of the Lamb is our conquering weapon. It is the means God has given us to thwart Satan's attacks. By the blood of the Lamb, Spurgeon says, we are to understand our Lord's death as a substitutionary sacrifice. It is not said that they overcame the archenemy by the blood of Jesus or by the blood of Christ, but by the blood of the Lamb. And the words are expressly chosen because under the figure of a lamb, we have set forth before us a picture of a sacrifice. The lamb under the old law was brought by the offender to make atonement for his offense. And in his place it was slain. This was the type of Christ taking the sinner's place, bearing the sinner's sin, and suffering in the sinner's stead, and thus vindicating the justice of God and making it possible for him to be just and the justifier of him who believes in Christ. With the blood of the Lamb in view, we truly can sing Charity Bancroft's hymn. When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there who made an end of all my sin. Because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me. God indeed thwarts Satan's attacks against us when we look to the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Are you trusting in Jesus Christ crucified to save you from Satan's power? So that when Satan tempts you to despair and tells you of the guilt within, you can look to him and know you are safe. Are you trusting in Jesus Christ this morning? If so, then let us rejoice. Let us celebrate. For the Savior of the world is born today. And if not, then let me encourage you to run now to him before it's too late. Satan knows that his time is short. Do you? Let's pray.